In our previous lesson, we looked at string manipulation and all the ways that we can do it within the .NET Framework class library. Often you're going to be working with dates and times in your application. And so this lesson is going to look at the basics of working with the DateTime class, as well as doing DateTime math, formatting the date time to be represented as a string, and a lot more. So I've already taken the liberty of creating a new project called Dates and Times, and I've already set up the project similar to what we've done in the past. I have a button control that has been renamed to My Button, and I replaced the content with Click Me, okay? And then I have a text block called My Text Block, and I've removed the text. I didn't set the text wrapping property. I can. It doesn't matter one way or the other. I don't think we're going to have that much text in this particular lesson. So I'm going to double-click the Click Me button, and let's just start off with trying to represent a date and time in our text block. So as you can see, I've created in this first line of code, in line 26, a new DateTime object and set its value equal to now. So it's going to get the current date time at this instant and save that into my value. And then I'm going to try to display that onto the text block controls text property. Now already we can see a problem. As I hover my mouse cursor over the red squiggly line, it tells me that it cannot implicitly convert the type system.dateTime to string, as we've seen this many times already. Okay, so how can we resolve this? Well, let's start off with just two string, but I'm going to show you in a moment there are a lot of additional options as well. So let's go ahead and click the Click Me button, and you can see that it formats a nice date and time according to the area in the world in which I live. It's common for those in the United States to represent the month first, then the day, and then the year, and then the time, as you see here with AM and PM. However, if you live in a different region of the world, based on your phone settings, it will represent the date that is more common to your part of the world. Some use the day, month, year format, for example. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and stop this. And I want to look at some additional options, because what if I only wanted to display just the date and not the current time? What I can do, and you can see there's just a number of these two methods, like to short date string, for example. So let's try that and then run our application and choose the Click Me button. Now it's only rendering the month, day, year, again, according to my region settings in my phone. What if I wanted to only represent the time, the current time of day, instead of the date? Well, I can use a different method, to short time string. All right. And so let's run that. And I'm going to click the Click Me button. You can see I can just represent 2:03 in the afternoon. Okay. What happens with the long date string? To long date string. Let's run it and see what we get. All right, so we have a much friendlier, much longer version of the date. Tuesday, September 21st, 2010, okay? And so we can play around with the different formats to get different results in our output of strings. Now, what if I wanted to do something like this? Let's go my text block.text equals my value, and I wanted to change it to not just today but 3 days from now. So I would go add days, and then I'm going to pass in the number of days that I want to add, and then I'll do a to short date string. Alright, so a couple things about this I want to notice. One moment here as we just run it and see what it's all going to look like. Okay, so if you recall before, it was 921, now it's 924. So we are looking at a method that shows how to add more days or time onto our our current date that we have stored within the myValue variable. Notice also that I've chained these together. First of all, I've chained this method, and then after that, I take the result of that and then chain on this next method. And I could continue to chain on additional methods as they make sense in order to format or to coerce the date in such a way that I get the result that I'm looking for. So that's another notion we looked at previously in the video about strings, and we see the same thing here, and it's just something that's available to you in the .NET framework. You just have to be aware of the return types of each of the methods that you want to chain together. So in this case, we hover our mouse cursor over the addDays method. It returns back a date time, and which is used as an input parameter, in a sense, of the too short date string, which returns, as we can see, a string, which is then used in our text property, which can only accept a string. So we just have to be aware of the return values for each of the methods. But if that works out, then we can continue to work with them. It would not work in the other way around. So if I were to do this and then that, I'm going to get an error. Okay, it'll say it can't convert basically a argument of type string into a date time, right? Because it just doesn't know how to do that. Okay, great. We can not just add days, but we can add time as well. So let's do an example of that real quick. Dot text equals my value dot add hours. So we can add hours. It was 203, I believe, earlier. Let's add a few hours to that and then do a too short time string on it and display that out to the user. Okay, so now it's 5:06 p.m. Great. And then what if you wanted to subtract? Are there subtract methods? Well, not exactly, but it's not difficult to figure out that we can just do this and pass in, for example, a -3 days to short date string. And see how much I'm relying on IntelliSense. I'm using just a few characters and then using my arrows. You've got to become familiar with IntelliSense. It'll totally speed up and improve the accuracy of your code. So here again, now I'm removing 3 days. So it's the 21st. We're going back to the 18th. Okay, great. Suppose that I just wanted to work with a part of the date. I just need to get the current month. How could I go about doing that? Well, I would do something like this. My value dot month. And month is going to return an integer 1 through 12. So I'll just do a toString on that so that I get in the right format to put it in my text property. And so September is the 9th month. And there are all kinds of additional dates. So I'm just going to put my mouse cursor right before the period and hit the period again so I can grab the minute, the second, the time of day, the day of week. If I were to go up here to the very top, the day and the year, I guess, well, we're probably in 230-something, just guessing off the top of my head. Okay, so there are a lot of ways to get at the parts of the date. And not just take the whole date in one big piece. If we needed to do some calculation, or we wanted to store the values separately, or whatever the case might be, okay, we can get at those. All right, how about creating a new date? As we can see right here, I was able to work with the date time right now. But what if I wanted to represent a date in the past? There's a couple of different ways I can go about that. First of all, let's just comment this out. And then I'll recreate it down here. So date time, my value, or actually let's do this. Let's go my birthday equals new date time. And then as I use the open parenthesis to create a new instance of a date and time, notice that I get IntelliSense that pops up under it. And you see it says 1 of 12. Again, I don't want to get too deep into talking about object-oriented programming, but what I have here are some options to initialize this date time object. And so I could choose this first version, this first overloaded constructor, which requires no input parameters. So I could just close it off like that and create a date time. It has nothing assigned to it. I believe it just goes to either a null or some date way in the past that represents nothing, essentially. Or I have some other options here. If I use the down arrow on my keyboard, I can look at some other options. So long ticks initializes a new instance of the date time structure to a specified number of ticks. A date time expressed in 100 nanosecond units. Okay, I'm not sure that's going to be all that helpful for me here. But if I keep moving down into the list of overloaded constructors that are available, I could do this instead. So you can see I can input a year, a month, and a day. So I could represent my birthday as this series of numbers, and now my birthday is December 7th, 1969. So that's one way to construct a new date time. The other way to do it, and probably the way that I prefer personally, unless I have some programmatic way, some variables that are holding on to values that represent months, days, and years, I would probably do this date time. Whoops, let's back it up here. DateTime.parse and then pass in 12/7/1969. All right, so that's the other way. I can use a parse method. Remember we saw the parse method before, but we saw it on the integer, the int.parse, and then we passed in a string that represented some number like 5. Well, here we're doing the same thing except with the date time, using the parse method to pass in a string that we know represents a date, a real date. Okay, so that's one way, the second way to create a new instance of a date time set to a specific date. Now, let's do this to kind of extend this example out a little bit. Let's determine how many days have elapsed since I was born. That should be a fun little exercise that will depress me greatly. Okay, we'll start off with a time span object. Now, a time span is not a specific point in time. It represents a span of time between two dates. So it's a whole different object. It represents the period of time between two specific points in time. All right, so we need to use a different object that's that can work with that sort of data. It creates a space in memory that will work with a span of time. So here we go. So my age equals DateTime.now.subtract, and then I'm going to pass in my birthday. So let's kind of pick this apart. I want to know the difference between now and my birthday. So I use the subtract method. I could have used, add days. Instead of add days, I could have subtracted a value from this. However, subtract is looking for an actual date, and it's going to return, if we hover our mouse cursor over it, it's going to return a time span object. So that's why I needed to create a new instance of time span here to retrieve the value that's going to be returned from subtract, and why it wouldn't make as much sense to use it in this previous example when we were subtracting days in that case. All right, so now, finally then, let's go my text block dot text equals my age dot toString, and this will tell us the number of days that I have lived on this earth so far. All right, so you can see that I've lived 14,898 days, and included in that are looks like 13 hours and 31 minutes or something to that effect. Okay, I guess I should be happy that I've made it that far, but suddenly I'm feeling very old. But at any rate, I could use some combination of properties and methods on the time span to determine exactly how that translates into years and months and days, given the possibility of leap years and such. And I just took a very simple case here, but we probably need to account for some more things when working with the time span object. Again, there's a lot that we have not covered, but I just wanted to give you a quick overview of the common uses of the date time and then the time span objects. And I'm going to give you the same encouragement at the end of this lesson as I did with the previous lesson. If you find yourself writing a lot of code to manipulate dates and times, you might want to stop and look through MSDN or search online, because chances are the .NET Framework base class library has something already built in it to help you out in that regard. So writing applications involves working with data, and as we've learned in this lesson and then the previous lesson, the .NET Framework base class library can help you with all kinds of manipulations of all kinds of data. So be sure to turn first to the BCL, the base class library, before you go off and do a lot of work on your own. All right, so with that in our pocket, now we'll move on and get into some more advanced concepts. We'll see you in the next video. Thank you.